listen to the Bend Down Hoops podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Boomtown Hoops podcast. I am Steven, joined this week by Josh, Jackson, and Bobby, running this four-man pod. So, guys, we're just going to jump right into it. You know, only a few games since the last podcast dropped. And Bobby, it was a tale of two games out there against the Clippers. You know, after Tuesday's just absolutely insane, insane game, followed up with a 127-105 loss.
Yeah, it got bad very quickly. You know, halftime tied up, looked like we were in for an absolute classic. Kawhi was on fire, SGA was on fire. Neither team's benches could get done, and then Nick Batum goes absolutely wild. Bones Highland goes absolutely wild for the Clippers in the third quarter. And all of a sudden, the Thunder are behind an insurmountable Clipper lead and decide to pack it in because they had a pretty big game with the Lakers the next day. So what can you say? It's the NBA. It happens sometimes. And, you know, when a team gets hot, they get hot.
Yeah, and then moving, like you just said, Bobby, you know, Friday night following up Thursday's loss with a loss against the Lakers, a 116-111 loss. And Josh, you know, kind of a, you know, pretty hard fought game from the Thunder, but just couldn't close it out.
Yeah, I mean, just a slow start. Anthony Davis was incredible, 37 points, 15 rebounds. Dennis Schroeder had an incredible fourth quarter. He scored 21 points, and I believe he scored 13 of those 21 points in the fourth quarter. But, you know, the Thunder just fought back really good. SGA, I thought he played really well. At the end, you know, we were trying to hit shots and just couldn't hit it, and AD crashed the boards, which was kind of frustrating as a Thunder fan. But just a game that, you know, I thought the Thunder had to have, and, you know, they came up just a little bit short.
Well, and I think, too, guys, like, I mean, you look at it of, like, there's not really anybody on this team who can guard an Anthony Davis. So, I mean, I think, you know, I mean, you know, we were talking before we started recording, you know, Chet's coming and we, you know, we see that more and more each day. Jackson's got a big smile on his face right now, but
3-7.
Oh, but I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, to me and I mean, any three of y'all can jump in on this, but I mean, like, don't you think that's what the Thunder need is we just need a big guy that can guard, you know, the Anthony Davis, you know, et cetera.
Yeah, I still think that's a big need in the offseason. I think Chet, you know, is obviously going to play a lot of those minutes, but just a rotation big that can kind of bang on some of the bigger bodies, because at the end of the day, Chet can do a lot of things, and I think he can still defend well in the post. I mean, he did, you know, fairly well in college, but he's just not quite big enough to have guys lay on him all day. Like the strong, like grown men are just stronger than he is. And 82 games of that is probably not going to be great for him. So I think at some point you need to bring in a body just to take some of those minutes, because I mean, even, you know, as good as he is, you know, Anthony Davis is on another level, and, you know, having to defend him all night, like, you need more than one body to throw at him. And no offense to Jay Will, he's just not quite big enough. You know, we just don't have a guy on the roster right now, especially since we got rid of Moose. Even not, you know, not the greatest defender, but at least a big body to have out there. So I definitely think that's a big offseason acquisition.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you kind of forget that Anthony Davis can still be that good because he's been so kind of off this season. But he was in prime form, and it was clear that our young guys really couldn't do much against him. And it's kind of sad there watching poor Jay Will and Jeremiah Robinson Earl out there trying to stop him. They didn't even give Olivier Saar a chance to stop him, but we all know how that would have ended. It really is a massive point that you need seasoned vets that are defensive heavy, because we don't have a defensive anchor down low across the board. Well, I mean, there's Chet, 3-7, but that's about it.
Yep. Yeah, I think you guys summed it up pretty good. I mean, the only somewhat sides we have is J-Dub and JRE and Sar, but, you know, it definitely showed at the end that we do need a big man for sure.
Yeah, and then moving into the last game of this West Coast swing, Sunday night, a win, a pretty good win against Portland, 118-112. I guess, well, if you look at it, they only played like one of their starters, so maybe not the best win, but a much needed win nonetheless. You know, Shea dropped 31. Josh Kitty got another double digit rebound night. And then of course the monster slam from the Boomtown Hoops, MVP, well, not MVP, rookie of the year, sorry. Rookie of the year, J-Dub. So, I mean, overall, a game you needed to win.
Yeah, the thing with that game, it's one we've lost a ton of times. It's one that we won, actually, a lot of times in the last couple of years against other teams. You know, you're playing against a team that they're in the tank. And, you know, we're playing for something, and we don't play well, but you come out with a win. I mean, it's the sign of a good team. The teams lose those games all the time. The Mavs just lost two straight to the Hornets. I mean, there's games that if you want to make the playoffs, you have to win. And that game could be the difference between being in the play-in and not. And, you know, down the line, it could be the difference between, you know, being a 5 or 6 seed or not. It could be the difference between being a 4 versus 5. You know, there's those weird games against bad teams. You know, if you win, you can get home court. You lose, you know, you're on the road. There's just, if you're a good team, you win those games. And it's easy in an 82-game season to fall apart. We've now beaten the Trailblazers 8 straight times since Damian Lillard ended our franchise in the playoffs. They've won less than 10 games more than we have now. I think it was 10, and then we beat them. So they've won 9 more games than we have, and they didn't tank at all, and we spent 2 years. So, you know, we'll take the win. I hate that they ruined our franchise the way they did, but, you know, we seem to be surviving.
I really wish that J-Dub would give the bye-bye wave as we were leaving Portland. That would have been really great, but can't all be winners all the time. So, Jackson, to let you talk a little bit more, we're going to talk about your favorite Thunder player right now. I think I'll set this up as we're not really dogging on them, but there definitely needs to be maybe spend some more time with Chip England and shooting land. So go ahead, Jackson.
Lou Dort. Well, before we even get to Lou Dort, Sam Presti, you've got a lot of sway in the league. Let's put a new rule in: all-time offense, all-time defense. Lou Dort, all-time defense. Let somebody else play offense. Lou doesn't lack confidence. He's third on the team in shots. And if this team is going to get to where it wants to be, that just can't be the case. His numbers, home versus away, there's a huge difference. I don't dislike Lou. I think he's one of the best defenders in the league. I just got to figure out a way to rein in the offense, because he doesn't lack confidence. And if you look at the last 7 games, which you could very well argue have been 7 of the most important games of the season because we're right in the thick of the play-in hunt, J-Dub has taken more shots than Lou Dort 1 time in the last 7 games. I mean, when you just look at it, who do you want taking your shots? I mean, obviously, Shea's going to take the most. Giddy's going to take the most. There was the stat I saw that in the last week, Lou has shot 3 for 11, 1 for 11, 2 for 14, 1 from 8 from 3, 1 for 4 from 3, 0 for 6 from 3. He's obviously crucial. He's somebody you want, you know, on the floor for his defense. But with the way this team is built, with, you know, the type of players that SGA and Giddy are, and even J-Dub, they're creators. You know, they get to the basket. None of them are all-world shooters. And especially once you get Chet back and you have a little bit more spacing. But, you know, you've got to be able to hit the outside shot. I mean, I think, you know, we all love Robertson. We all love Cephalosha. But how, you know, how many times in those playoff series were we going, you know, we're playing 4-on-5 on offense. And yes, Lou had his 30-point game against the Rockets in the playoffs and all these things. And it's not that he's not, you know, a good player. It's just, it hasn't been there recently. And we just, you know, these games are crucial and you just can't have the offensive, like, spurts where he's just taking shots and nothing's falling. Like, the three at the end of the game last night was just like, they're leaving you open for a reason. Paul George talked about it on the pod recently when he was a rookie and in Indiana, and he was like, he shot an open three and he missed it. Danny Granger basically asked him what you were doing, and he's like, I was open. Danny Granger said, why do you think you were open? Because they weren't worried about it. I mean, Lou showed he can make them. I don't know what has been the issue, but I think it's just something that's got to be looked at and figured out in the offense. Yes, for the end of this season, but really more just going forward. But curious on your guys' thoughts. I just, you know, been thinking about it all day.
No, yeah. I mean, I agree. I definitely think he shoots the ball way too much. Against the Clippers, he went 1-of-4. He did go 5-of-8 against the Lakers, but then, you know, Sunday went 0-for-6. And that, yeah, that three at the end of the game was very frustrating. I mean, you said it best, you know, they're leaving you open for a reason. I think hopefully, you know, we can get a good shooter in the draft. You know, Isaiah Joe shoots the ball really well. SGA and Giddey do too. But yeah, I mean, Dort definitely is a good defender, but he shoots the ball way too much.
Yeah, he just doesn't really read the room is the thing. Because if you look at his percentages, you know, from year to year, it's not that big of a drop off. But I think context matters. Obviously, the fact that we're trying to win now and win more matters. But it's unacceptable that he's taking as many shots as J-Dub. In a game like that, both of those guys having 14 shot attempts is not great. And I know Oklahoma City doesn't have a lot of guys who can make their own shot, who can get their own shot. But at the same time, that can't be Lugans Dort. As much as I love Lou, it just can't be him. He does not have that capability on a night-to-night basis. Yeah, you might get your one-off 30 for 30 piece from him, but more than likely it's 6 points and like 3-for-14. So I think that might be a need that needs to be addressed later on. Obviously, you have the picks, the capital, the cap space, and everything to do that. But Lou just kind of needs to ease back into his 2019-2020 role, because I think that's kind of the Lou you need if you want to really win games.
And I think kind of too, where, I mean, at least where I'm coming from on this one is like we're not, I mean, I'm not telling them like, don't stop shooting. I mean, you know, keep doing what you're doing, but, you know, like Jackson was saying, read the room and understand like, okay, like, you know, I'm wide open, but if I make, you know, one more pass or something like that, you know, you could have a driving dish and there's an easy 2 points.
Yeah, it's something Cade and I talk about a lot, where it's like, it's, you know, it's been okay, because it was okay last year, okay the year before that. Like, you want guys getting these reps, but now you're starting to get into, you know, play in, play off, like, right in the thick of things. And, you know, we're not still a full tank team. Like, this, the way we've looked at things for the last 2 years has kind of, you know, it's been adjusted throughout the year. And now that we're, you know, as close as ever, you know, we're right there in the 10 spot, we're in the play in at the moment. Like, the way you approach the game just kind of has to be different. And he's still kind of playing like it doesn't matter on offense. Not that I'm not saying he feels that way, but, you know, it just kind of feels like, you know, and, you know, last year, you know, if Lou put up 14 shots, you know, you're like, hey, you got to get the reps, you know, if you're open, take it. And now it's like, man, these games are crucial. And you can't shoot 1-for-11. You know, at some point you got to go. I mean, I get it. If you're wide open, you know, his finishing at the rim hasn't been great either. You know, you can kind of live if somebody's getting to the rim, but at the end of the day, you just got to approach things differently. And I don't know if that's, you know, a conversation that the coaches need to have, or if it's one they have had. You know, like I said, I'm not trying to be a killer on the guy because he is so unbelievable on defense. But you just have to find a balance, because we can't end up with another Robertson situation. Like, we just, as you know, as much as, you know, he's a lovable figure in Thunder history and like, love the guy, you know, you just, when you get into these games, playing 4-on-5 on offense, especially in today's NBA, is just too difficult to do. So I don't know if it's an adjustment, you know, not this year, but maybe next year, to the rotation where Lou is playing, you know, slightly less minutes, coming off the bench, something different. But you just got to figure something out, because you can't have your third, the player with the third most shot attempts on the team, shooting such a poor percentage. So, I mean, obviously that's likely to change next year. Chet's going to probably be, I would guess, number two behind Shea. But, you know, you just kind of, something's got to be done. It feels like, you know, you can scroll through Thunder Twitter last night in the fourth quarter. It was like, everyone is just wondering why. So I don't, like I said, I don't know what the solution is, but I don't get paid for that. That's, you know, people get paid much more money than me. But it just feels like something's got to be done.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a full Robertson yet, thankfully. It just don't, Lou, just don't take the wheel all the time. That's the biggest thing. I'm totally with you. Because if you just cut it down a little bit, and he's not all the time, you know. I can't think of any time Robertson ever had like 14 shot attempts. You know, he just never, that just wasn't his capability. So somewhere in between where he is now and what Robertson was doing, put it like right there and you're good, I think.
Yeah, and it's not even necessarily to the point where, like, you know, he gets a wide open catch and shoot and you go, don't shoot it. Because we've seen him make it enough times. There was times where, like, Robertson would get one and he would literally just basically stand there because he had no confidence to shoot it. Like, you don't want to get to that point. But it's more of just, like, he shoots, you know, even if it shoots 10 times a game and, you know, five of them are wide open catch and shoots, you know, not putting the ball on the floor, you know, two or three of them are, you know, attacking the rim and maybe the other two are on a cut. Like, you can live with all of those shot attempts. There's just times where it's like, this can't be it. We talked about it, you know, earlier in the season where there was times where it didn't look like anybody but Shea was willing to put the ball on the floor and try to create something other than Shea and Lou. And obviously you didn't love that, but you had to find the aggressiveness somewhere. It seems like Giddey, it seems like J-Dub have kind of found that, and just, it's a balance. There's only so many shot attempts in a game. You got to, you know, you got to pick and choose where you want them to come from. Isaiah Joe took a bunch last night. Good with those shots. You know, I mean, he hit five threes, I believe. I know he hit five early. I don't know, remember if he finished with five or six, but, you know, obviously those are better shots, but you just kind of have to figure out if, you know, Lou taking two less means Joe gets two more. I think that's what you're looking for. You know, you just, like, you find little places like that.
Yeah. And then, I mean, guys, you know, really looking at, you know, as we record this, we are literally 2 weeks from the play-in starting. So, you know, right now Oklahoma City is sitting at 10th. And I think it was Dylan that posted it after the Clippers loss, is some, you know, something along the lines of, you know, everything can change just like that. I mean, I'm obviously, you know, kind of not verbatim what he said, but, you know, but along those lines. I mean, so realistically, we'll kind of just go through these of, you know, right now, you know, same record as the Lakers. Is that, I mean, are we going to be able to even get past the Lakers? I mean, is that, or are we kind of, I mean, I'll kind of start with Bobby, but I mean, does it even seem like we can get past the Lakers at this point?
If we ran into the Lakers, especially if it's in Los Angeles, I think that would be a bit of an issue. You'd be going up against LeBron and Anthony Davis, you know, at two seasoned guys who won a title together. That's not a great situation to be in. But I will say, after seeing how they looked with LeBron against the Bulls, things don't look right. Chemistry might not be there. That's kind of the biggest thing I would say. If it was in Oklahoma City, which would take a lot, Lakers own the tiebreaker over the Thunder. Then yeah, I think that crowd could push them over the line. But look, the Lakers have kind of shown that they have Oklahoma City's number as of late. Ever since LeBron night, essentially, they. I don't know. They just kind of have this different kind of veteran vibe about them. So I don't like that.
Yeah, Bobby. I agree with you. And I know like it's just one game and anything can happen, but I would be very, very nervous if we had to go out to LA and play that first game. You know, LeBron and AD, they win together. They play really well. I know Sunday against the Bulls was a completely different story, but I would be very, very nervous and I would not like that matchup at all.
I mean, it's tough when LeBron's found the LeBron James of foot doctors, which is a crazy thing to say. His miracle healing. They're definitely not a team we want to run into if we can avoid it. You know, not saying we can, but you know, if you get in that situation. Their schedule kind of shapes up a little differently than ours, I would say. Of the remaining playing teams besides us, I feel like their schedule is one of the weaker ones. Kind of depends on what version of the Suns they get. But, you know, like I said, the chemistry hasn't necessarily looked great. We'll see, you know, how LeBron looks, you know, in another game. And, you know, I mean, depending on how things go, if one of him or AD gets shut down, they're just not, you know, as threatening. I know that version just beat us. We'd have to figure out something for Anthony Davis, but I think they're a team we, you know, if we run into them, we might have a tough time getting past, but just over the remaining games with the schedule we have versus the schedule they have, we could get past them in the standings. I think that's certainly possible.
Yeah. And I will say this about their schedule. They do have like a ton of road games left at Chicago, at Minnesota, at Houston. But they do have to play, like I mentioned earlier, Houston. That's a team that's clearly tanking. And then they have Utah twice, who are right on the verge of, you know, really just kind of pulling all the levers possible and rolling over. So that's a pretty easy run.
Well, and then even looking at Minnesota, I mean, you know, looking at theirs at seven, I mean, they've got, you know, I think out of all these, I think this is the team that's we could probably – I would say we could jump coming because you got at Sacramento, at Phoenix, you got Lakers, you got Portland, you got Brooklyn, you got San Antonio, and then you got the Pelicans. I know that's a lot of games I just rattled off right there, but I mean, out of those, from you know looking at who's left, I mean Minnesota seems like they've got the hardest schedule left.
Yeah, I mean the T-Wolves they have a brutal, brutal run ahead of them. I'm pretty sure like the easiest game they have left is tonight. We're recording this on Monday. Tonight at Portland, who, you know, they're out here having to rely on Shaedon Sharpe and Nas Little to make it a good game. Because they're in it. They're in for it. But I will say, or sorry, I'm looking at the Pelicans here. My bad. Pelicans have a brutal schedule too. I got all my tabs confused here. It's been a cool minute. But yeah, no, the T-Wolves, man, that's a tough run. That is a tough, tough run. Outside of, you know, San Antonio and Portland, you know, not easy.
Yep. I was going to say, it's going to be tough, but I'm hoping the Thunder can get to the seventh seed. So that way, you know, in order to miss the playoffs, you know, we have to get beat twice at home because I would favor us at home way more than I'd favor us on the road. So,
yeah, the thing with Minnesota is they do seem like they're getting healthy at the right time. I mean, Paul Towns just came back, and Anthony Edwards, I believe, is back. If not, he should be back shortly. But like I said, their schedule is brutal. That Minnesota New Orleans game, the last game of the season, could be quite the play and effector. I think, you know, luckily for us, like Memphis has clinched playoffs already. That last game for us could be, you know, ideally at very worst winning in. But the Minnesota New Orleans game to end the year could kind of throw seeding all into a weird mix. But like I said, those two schedules are way tougher than ours. If we take care of business, win the games that the Thunder should win, ideally, you know, you're looking at the 7 or 8 spot, because the schedules around us just tend to be harder. I mean, as tough as it looks, we're a half game out of 8, a game out of 7, 2 games out of 5. Like, the games are there. You know, I don't see us jumping up to 5 or 6, but in general, you know, you take care of the business, you win the games you're supposed to, and I don't think there's a lot to worry about.
I will say it is a bummer looking at this, because the Thunder don't have a tiebreaker against the Lakers, Pelicans, or T-Wolves. They could get it against the Warriors, but that is at Chase Center in one of the toughest environments in basketball right now. So you have to feel like that's not likely, and that would just be a split. So any tiebreakers, that would not go the Thunder's way. But if you can get into the 7 or the 8, that is money. Either you're hosting a game to get into the playoffs at 7, or you lose, or you live another day and host one, win or go home in that 8-9. So finding a way to get into that spot where you get 2 shots at it, that is just truly prime territory, because otherwise it would be a pretty uphill battle having to go on the road seemingly twice.
Yeah, so I guess that's pretty much going to wrap it up for us this week. Not a whole lot. We, you know, just got the push for the play-in, hopefully the playoffs. Like I said, we'll when this releases, we'll be less than 2 weeks from the play-in starting. So I think, you know, everybody sitting here recording this is, you know, it's really a put up or shut up time for the Thunder to see what they can do. But you know, we'll probably be looking at the draft probably the next couple of weeks. We'll start kind of taking some dives into some players and kind of seeing which player Sam Presti will not pick, because we are looking at him and scouting them. So obviously Sam Presti has other things in mind than what we think. So but anyway, guys, appreciate you all for listening again this week. We'll be back again next week for another edition of the Boomtown Hoops podcast. For Bobby, Jackson, and Josh, I'm Steven. We'll see y'all next week.